I'm Wilfred Brimley, and I'd like to talk to you for a few minutes about diabetes. Diabetes.
Go. What is up, Z-Pack? It's your boy, Z-Dog MD, and I want to welcome everybody from the type 1 diabetes community who is joining us today to have this dialogue. Awkward. Very awkward, Tom.
What'd you do this time, Z?
What did I do? I fell into the type 1 trap. Let me explain. Recently, we found a meme online, which is what we do on Instagram. We actually curate memes that we think are either funny or satirical or educational or all of the above. Well, we found one that we thought was all of the above, and we posted it, and it got something like close to 3,000 likes very fast because we think it's quite funny. However, we got in short shrift, very short period of time, more hate than we've gotten from the entire anti-vax community in the entire time we've been doing stuff. But this time it was from a patient community of type 1 diabetics and their families. So what did we do wrong? Did we do something wrong? Is the meme okay? Is it not okay? Is a meme a terrible thing to waste? Show the meme. So it says custom for the people on the podcast. It shows a pair of really obnoxious toe shoes that everybody hates, and anyone who wears them is weird and wrong. And it says custom footwear for that special uncontrolled diabetic in your life. Now, where the twist is that each shoe is missing a toe or two. Let's go back to me here. Now, if you show this to healthcare providers, 8 out of 10 times their first response is to laugh uncontrollably. And that explains the 2,700 odd likes on the meme and the shares and all of that. Now, we only posted it on Instagram because that's the place we go when we know we're right on the edge. And the reason we felt this one was right on the edge is that it's talking about a complication of a disease. Now, let me explain something here that we got very, very, very wrong. And it was pointed out to us in a variety of different ways, some very productive and some extremely unproductive.
Extremely unproductive? You mean like death threats to your family?
Yeah, death threats to me and my family. Statements like, I hope you get cancer and AIDS. Let me see. You should get type 1 diabetes because karma is a bitch. Oh, you are stupid AF. This, that, the other thing. Now we're gonna try to keep it clean because I want you guys to share this widely with your kids and stuff because I think it's important to have this discussion. When we get something wrong, okay, why is that? And what is the right way to have a discourse on the internet? What's the nature of memes? And what is the nature of type 1 diabetes versus type 2 and all these things? We're gonna talk about all that on this show. The reason we're doing this show is because of the general outpouring of criticism that we got for the meme and the feeling that we really need to talk about this because our intent when we do satire, the entire movement, the Health 3.0 movement, ZDog MD Industries, the show Incident Report, the Instagram, the Twitter, the Facebook. I hate Twitter, by the way, Tom, you know that.
Twitter is the worst. It's as bad as toe shoes.
Worse. Maybe worse. Hashtag Twitter toe shoes. So the idea is to actually raise awareness, to improve care for patients, to work better in teams, and to support each other as caregivers. That's why we did the shows on violence against nurses. That's why we do everything we talk about it with Health 3.0. That's why we are fierce advocates, not just for patients, but also for each other and for systems transformation. Now, this meme, when we posted it, many people took it exactly as we intended it, which is it is a satirical comment on uncontrolled type 2 diabetics. Now, why would we do that? Why would we make a joke relating to the complications of type 2 diabetes? Because as caregivers, and I'm a hospitalist, I'm an internist, I see this all day and night. We see the sequelae, the consequences of uncontrolled type 2 diabetes. Now, whether or not type 2 is genetic, which it partially is, environmental, which it partially is, due to diet, partially it can be bad luck. Once you have it, if you completely disregard dietary advice and control, if you don't take your medications, if you don't make your appointments, or if you're socioeconomically challenged, you can't get there, you have bad access, then you will suffer complications. And this is what we see. We see amputations, we see sepsis, we see kidney failure, we see eye failure, we see death. This is incredibly hard for caregivers because we feel frustrated that we're powerless to help because the patient side of the equation isn't being met. And so this meme is a way of saying, we see this. This is something we see. And as caregivers, we, number one, we blow off steam sometimes with humor. Number two, we want a type 2 diabetic to look at this and go, ooh, like, I don't want that. Like, that is not something I can live with. And maybe then we can have more dialogue about how to prevent those complications. So the intent of this meme was to raise awareness of this complication and to also talk about non-adherence, non-compliance, et cetera. And that was the intent. Now, here's where we went terrifically wrong. I fell into the type 1 trap. Let me explain this. The type 1 trap is something we just now invented. It's a term that we've come up with after feeling the feedback from this, which is this. It's simply defined as this. It's believing that everybody understands the difference between type 1 and type 2 and doesn't conflate and combine them together. Many providers have this fallacy. They think that people like them understand the difference between type 1 and type 2. They also think that other caregivers, other healthcare workers, understand the difference between type 1 and type 2. Now, it turns out this is fundamentally wrong. Many people, and the type 1 community will argue this, many people don't understand this difference. And the stigma of a type 1 diabetic being labeled with, oh, you should just cut the carbs. You brought this on yourself with diet. If only you did X, Y, and Z, this wouldn't have happened to you. That is abject garbage, and it is so damaging. So let me just start for a second by just educating people who may not know, who aren't healthcare professionals, or who are and don't understand this still. Type 1 diabetes, okay, it often starts early in life, often in childhood, but not always. It comes from being unable, your pancreas does not make insulin. And there's a variety of reasons for this, but it doesn't make insulin. So that means you need to have insulin injections to survive, or you will die, or you will have a complication like diabetic ketoacidosis, where you're in the emergency room acutely sick, in danger of dying. And if you treat it poorly over years because you don't make your own insulin very well, you have to control your insulin through a complicated means of external insulin, diet, exercise, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, often in conjunction with an endocrinologist who knows you well and a primary care physician. And even if you do everything right, you can suffer a complication. Amputation, blindness or changes in vision, kidney disease, heart disease, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, to paint type 1s with the type 2 brush, which is type 2 diabetes, occurs often, but not always, later in life. It is more often due to a resistance to insulin that you produce. So your pancreas produces a lot of insulin, but you're resistant to it. And if you go long enough like this, your muscles and your liver get resistant to insulin. Your pancreas starts to fail. It actually can't produce enough insulin to keep up, and your blood sugar starts to rise. And then you get all the complications. Now, this has a genetic component as well, but there's a very big dietary component. So to some degrees, type 2 is a result of the way that we eat in the United States. And not necessarily just pure obesity. It's the type of food we're eating. Processed, high carbohydrate, high refined sugar foods can contribute in a genetically susceptible person to the development of diabetes. And we're seeing it as an epidemic. Now, those complications take, again, a while to develop. But a lot of times you can control it with pills. And if that doesn't work, then pills and insulin, and then insulin and diet and exercise and other things. It's still hard. You can still have complications even by doing everything right, but it's much more sort of a disease of lifestyle than type 1 is. Type 1 is not. Now, once you have type 1, how you control it with what you eat and how you exercise and how you take your medicines is important. And that means being a partner with your clinicians, which can be hard when there's so much stigma. So what we realized very quickly from the type 1 community reaching out to us immediately saying, no, people don't get this. We see this meme and we think it's about us. We think you are making fun of a complication that is beyond our control in many ways. I'm the mother of a type 1 diabetic who's a child who we spend all our days and nights worrying about titrating doses, and are they going to go to a birthday party and eat something wrong and get sick and end up in the ICU with ketoacidosis? When they're teenagers, are they going to take risk-taking behaviors and push the boundaries and end up in an ICU? Or worse, are they going to have it 30, a complication, eye problems, kidney problems, dialysis, amputation? And then we see a meme like this where you're showing a tolus foot. And you're saying for that uncontrolled diabetic in your life. And they are seeing that as pointing at them. Here's the mistake that I made, is not realizing that that was a possibility. I, in my infinite clinical wisdom, assumed that everybody understood that this was about type 2. Now, you could argue, well, it's not even appropriate for type 2s. I will push back on you. Because if we don't start holding patient accountability to the same level we hold clinician accountability and we work together, we can't succeed. So a meme like this, apart from being funny because it makes us laugh as caregivers, also points out that adherence and participation in your care is important. Now, where I screwed up is not distinguishing type 1 and type 2, not being sensitive to this community's hurt, because it is deep. It is deep, you guys. Like, you have to understand the messages I got. I'm not gonna talk about the nasty death threats, because those people can go in a corner and die somewhere. I'm talking about the mothers who said, this hurts me, it hurts my child, it stigmatizes this disease further. And I'm gonna be honest with you, the reason I didn't pull the meme, this really kind of came to a head yesterday, that's when the criticism started mounting. The reason I didn't pull the meme is that I will not be intimidated by the faction of this population that is literally threatening my life. I won't do it. I will never, never bow to bullying. However, the messages I got that convinced me that I missed a piece of this puzzle, that this was something that I am perpetuating a stigma potentially, unknowingly and unintentionally, that is compelling. And that's why we're having this conversation now. What do you think, Tom?
Well, I think it's an interesting point that you wouldn't even have considered type ones when we posted the meme at all. It wouldn't even have been in your purview.
Now, and is that a failure of mine? I think it is, because if I were really compassionate and understood the situation better, I would have understood that type ones have this stigma and they're often conflated, and I would never have intentionally posted a meme to hurt them like that. Now, what hurts me a little bit, Tom, I'll be honest, I'm a little butthurt, is people jump to the conclusion that I am intentionally torturing type ones with this meme. Like, do you not see everything we do every day to fight for patients and providers? That you would that quickly jump to that assumption infuriates me. And what it will cause is me to push back and say, you know what, I'm not taking it down, because that wasn't my intent. And there is still good that can come of this meme. And that's why I push back. And people interpret the pushing back as some kind of smug arrogance. That's not where it's coming from. It's coming from a bit of also defensiveness, because you're questioning my integrity as a clinician, as a doctor, and as what we're trying to do, which is build this health 3.0. Now, here's another thing, Tom. It's interesting. So Kevin MD, Kevin Poe, been doing social media for a long time, very big in the space, good friend of mine, emailed me when he saw all this stuff going down on Twitter, because usually it goes down on Twitter, because Twitter is just a crappy place. And what he said was, wow, I see you're in the middle of this firestorm. I've been through that. Let me know if I can give you any advice, although I'm pretty sure you're going to handle it, you know, compassionately. And I said, I'm going to do a show on it, but what's your advice? And he said this. He said, one of the dangers with these sort of things is the impression that you're punching down, that you're attacking a community of people that is powerless and that already has been mistreated by clinicians and feels misunderstood and disrespected. And when you do this, your power is here and their power is here, and it comes off like that. And honestly, I gotta say, I never thought of it that way. And when he framed it like that, I said, of course it feels that way. That's horrible. And that's when I really started to, it disarmed me a bit. And I said, okay, I'm gonna let my own defensiveness down, my own crappy first draft, which is no effing way you're gonna get me to pull anything down. Nobody tells me how to do what I do, which is try to raise awareness through using humor. I've done it all my life. How could I possibly get it wrong? I got it wrong.
Veronica says, thank you, Z. It is super frustrating as an HCP to bust your butt trying to get a patient's blood sugar back under control, only to have the Mass family to sneak in donuts and other garbage and then get mad at us that they're getting a million glucose checks and extra insulin. Take some damn responsibility. And by the way, I'll read your comments if you're a hater too, but you gotta make them insightful. These ad hominem attacks are just boring and I don't wanna read them on air.
Yeah, they're boring. Like, no one wants to hear Z-Dog's ugly and bald. Like, we all know that. Give me some information I don't know. So here's the thing. Now, what we're hearing is a healthcare provider standpoint, which is, look, we're frustrated. We've had it with it's the type 2 population. But you know, I'm gonna be honest, and this may cause some butthurt, but I have to be honest and authentic with you guys. There are many type 1s, especially when they're younger, that go through a period where they really, really, really don't take care of themselves. And it's hard. I know it's hard. You've been born with this. You've struggled with it all your life. There's so many limitations on you. And sometimes you just want to push the boundaries. There are other reasons why they get into trouble, illness, mismanagement, a lot of reasons. It's complicated, right? But but the idea that we do need to talk about holding each other accountable. Patients need to hold us accountable to be their shepherds, but they also need to release the victimhood of illness and take accountability. And I know many do that, but there are many more who don't. And we don't support them, honestly. We don't give them the resources to take accountability many of the times because we don't have the resources yet because we're in health 2.0. So how do we elevate it to 3.0 and get beyond that?
Amanda says she views this meme as the same thing for diabetes as the smoking commercials with the people with the trachs, you know?
Right, so I think that was our feeling. It's like, look, you see a smoking commercial of the person with a trach. Now that means there's a behavioral and a volitional component to the disease. With type 2, there is. And again, where I made a mistake here, I fell into the type 1 trap. I did not distinguish between type 1 and type 2. And that is my mistake. And the reason I made that mistake from a place of giving people the benefit of the doubt that they knew that already. Because clinicians should know that, but some don't, and many patients don't. And I think that the type 1s are used to the stigma. They know it intuitively. They've been stigmatized all their lives mistakenly, right? Cut the carbs, bro. Like, no. I mean, that'll help you manage the diabetes, not gonna prevent you from getting diabetes. And there's a lot of judgment that you did this to yourself and you're just eating candy all day and there's horrible things. And these are children, guys. Like, people get diagnosed as children most of the time. And this is incredibly hurtful. And you can imagine that you're gonna become a tiger mom about this. And that's why, you know, the diabetic mothers group or whoever was attacking me, this is why they're so vicious in my mind, because if it was my kid, I would have done the same thing if I perceived this was happening.
Speaking of tiger mom, I have a good comment here from Wild Grace who says, this is exactly the meme I would show my T1 son who has been abdicating all responsibility at the age of 21 and needs to know he is seriously jeopardizing his future. I have lived through the T1 tiger mom stage, so I know why others might be upset about this. Plus, I'm an RN, I've seen toes fall off of patients. So chill out to all the haters. There is a real serious message here, and there are diabetics, both types, who ought to wake up from their denial and hear it.
I think that's a spot on comment in many ways, but I think, and I think she's right. I think she went through that phase where you are the tiger mom, but there is an accountability component. However, that doesn't excuse my mistake in this case. So again, my oversight is falling into the type 1 trap and not clarifying it, because now I've done a disservice because I may be inadvertently perpetuating stigma. Now, I'm not gonna apologize for the type 2 component of it because I feel strongly that that is an effective satire. And the fact that it has, look, I mean, look at this. If you're, what this is saying is for the special uncontrolled diabetic in your life. And I'll tell you why this works as satire and you can disagree with me. The reason it works is that, first of all, toe shoes are stupid AF, so that's funny. Take away a couple toes and make it about an uncontrolled type 2 diabetic, if you do it correctly, and then it, for every single person who's taking care of an uncontrolled type 2 diabetic, right? Someone who's eating a cake while like wondering why the sugar's 1,000. That's the frustration and the accountability we'd like to try to promote. Now, we did this totally wrong because the retrospectoscope is 2020, right? I didn't write type 2 diabetes. And the caption, by the way, this isn't our meme. We got this meme from someone else, and that's part of the problem. If we had created it from scratch, we probably would have thought that out as we built it. Instead, we repurposed someone else's meme and put a new caption on it. And the caption was just simply the only appropriate use of toe shoes, which I thought was funny as hell, because there is no appropriate use of toe shoes. So that being said, we screwed that up. We fell into the type 1 trap. We perpetuated a stigma and we heard about it from that community. Now, my argument back is like, if you're gonna tell me that I screwed up, do it in a thoughtful way. You should know who I am by now. I am not that guy. I'm not the guy who is gonna torture type 1 diabetic children. I'm not! So come at me civilly and I will come back and we'll have the conversation and we will do what's necessary to make it right.
Rebecca Rapp, who's from the T1 Mod Squad, who's the group who's been attacking Z, says, the problem is the lay people don't know the difference.
Yeah, no, you're right. And this is a big problem because it's the lay people often that will torture you. It's your friends and your colleagues and the kids' friends who don't understand diabetes and are perpetuating a stigma. The thing is, it should be our role as caregivers to try to destigmatize. And in this case, we fell short, clearly. And I take full responsibility for that. What I will not do is apologize for the meme, because the meme is absolutely appropriate. Patients need to be a part of the solution in taking accountability. We should have clarified that this is type 2 and we should have talked about accountability in discussing the meme. Also, toe shoes are funny.
That can't be emphasized enough, people, that toe shoes are the wackest thing on the planet.
They're so whack. They are so whack. Let me see here. If I think a relative or friend was in a medical crisis, it would offend more than if all was well with the diabetics they know. Kim Reagan. Lucille Martin says, the second someone says that they are offended or this hurt me, my child, they are no longer considering the message and content. They're emotional and probably need to ask someone who is objective if there's another viewpoint they're missing. This is difficult as it requires the person to be objective and rational when feelings are involved. Lucille, you nailed it. This is what happened here. This meme triggered viscerally an elephant, an unconscious emotional response in this community that has already been conditioned by stigma, by pain, by suffering, and by the vast difficulty of managing type 1 as a young person, or even an adult. The fear, the sword of Damocles that hangs over your head every minute you're a diabetic, a type 1 in particular, that you're gonna have a complication that's gonna be life-altering, that's gonna make you disabled. And to see this then in a meme, step one, immediate elephant response, anger, disgust, revulsion, fear. The second response is, who posted this meme? A effing doctor? Really? And a lot of the criticism I got, Tom, the more ad hominem attacks are, you're a doctor, you should know better. This is a failure of being a smart doctor. And honestly, it's a failure of me actually seeing this, absolutely. So I will take that criticism.
Totally, and yeah. It can't be overstated how many times they called you ugly and bald. Can't be overstated.
I am ugly and bald, and that's why I succeed.
So okay. I was talking about this story with my dad today, and he told me he had a friend who was in his early 50s, got diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, and just went into full-on denial mode about it, and died from the complications. And I didn't know that, to me, if I had gotten a diagnosis that had actionable things I could do as a patient, that would be a godsend.
Well,
because there's so many diseases, you can't do anything.
It's true. And I think a lot of caregivers feel this way about type 2s that are non-compliant. A lot of their family members feel this way. Like, what the hell is wrong with you? Why can't you take care of yourself? It's not that hard. But you know what? It is that hard. And there's a lot of stuff going on in their lives that we don't understand that motivate their elephants and their behavior and their unconscious behavior. And once we understand that and are compassionate to that, we can actually influence them in a more productive way. And so that's another reason why, let's do this right now, Tom, because I feel strong about this. I'm going to Instagram, so I want the type 1 diabetics who we've upset to watch what I'm doing right now, and I want you to know why I'm doing it. This is the meme. This is my Instagram account, and this is the meme, okay? So here it is. There's a million comments, many good, many horrible, many death threats, 2,700 likes. Now, I feel like we did this wrong. We did a disservice to the type 1 community, and we could have done it better even for the type 2 community. Now, I am gonna do something now, not because you bullied on Twitter or in the comments or called me ad hominem names. I'm gonna do this because I'm a physician who cares about getting it right, and I care about my Z-Pack having respect in the fact that we care about doing the right thing. And if we were gonna post this meme, we would frame it correctly, we would outline the stuff, and we would not fall into the type 1 trap. So what I'm gonna do right now is go into this little button, and you see that red button there? It says delete. Are you sure you wanna delete this really popular
color? Wait, are you sure, Z? Are you sure?
Am I sure I wanna do this?
Z, are you sure?
Let me say one other thing before I do this. So when I had all this storm of outrage directed at me, a lot of the comments were like, I said, look, let's do a show on it today. 4 p.m. Pacific, incident report, Facebook, come and let's talk. We'll take your comments, we'll do the thing. This is what they said. Oh, now he's hounding for ratings. Okay, first of all, there's no effing thing, such thing as ratings on the internet.
It's called views, people.
It's views. Second of all, this isn't even that viewed. People don't care about me ranting and raving about this, but I care about it. And so I said, look, come, and this is where we're gonna have the discussion. We're gonna do it on the terms of the show. So I am not interested in ratings, because if I wanted to keep ratings, I would keep this post up because it's incredibly popular and has gotten us a ton of likes on Instagram because of the providers who saw it and interpreted it the correct way. But here we go.
Quick, before you delete this, I wanna read something.
Yeah.
Carol Johnston says, the truth is this meme has sparked a debate. If it was a cute little bunny, nobody would have noticed and we wouldn't be here discussing the issue. So good job.
Carol, you just won this meme a stay of execution. Thank you for screwing the entire type 1. I'm kidding. Delete. It's gone.
That's so sad.
You know why? Because we had the discussion right now. This video will live on the internet and will be a source of discussion. And this is where I want my type 1 families and patients to come and have the discussion. And I've already told you my take. If that's not enough, if that didn't satisfy you, if you're still angry, leave a comment. If you leave an asinine attack comment, I'm gonna ignore it. And you know, there was another person who's like, Al Z-Dog blocked me on Twitter. I'm like, woman, I blocked you. I don't even know how Twitter works because I don't use Twitter. Like Twitter's like a side thought for me. I blocked you because I'm tired of seeing your stupid comments in my feed. I didn't realize it sends her a little message, you were blocked. If I'd have known that, I wouldn't have given her the satisfaction of blocking her. The other thing that the Type 1 community did, some of them, is reached out to people that I'm gonna be speaking for. And the hospital that I practice at in Las Vegas. And they were like, this guy needs to be stopped. He's evil and he's killing diabetic children. And I'm like, no, 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 no. And guess what they said? Yeah, wow, we got some kooky emails. So there you go. That's not the right way to do it. Message me thoughtfully and concisely, please, because people who send this, I can't read. I get 1,000 messages a day. It's not gonna happen, all right? And that's not the way you have a discourse, you know, of memes and men. You know what I'm saying, Tom Heinemer?
Joy says, Z-Dog, you're amazing. You're the bigger guy for deleting it, and she commends.
I don't feel that big, especially at a whopping 5'5", but I will say I will say that I will recognize when I did something wrong, but I want you to know the intent. Now, here's the other thing, Tom. Intent matters. So to the Type 1 community, do you think, honestly, if you've seen anything else I've done, that I would intend to offend the Type 1 community after you know what my take is on Type 1? Would you really think that? And if you think that, then there's something wrong in your head, period. You don't understand me, you don't know me, you haven't watched the show, so buzz off. Now, why does intent matter? Because it matters morally and ethically. If I make a mistake, if my intent was to hurt you, then that's one thing. If my intent was to help you and it didn't and it backfired, that's another thing. That's why you make a distinction between collateral damage in a war, okay, versus strapping explosives to yourselves and targeting women and children. There is a distinction in intent, all right? Simple as that.
Damn, you just pissed off a hell of a lot of people, Z.
Oh, hell yeah. They need to be pissed off. I'm talking about ISIS. Did I piss off ISIS?
You pissed off the anti-war people, Z.
Oh, the anti-war people. Look, listen, yeah, war sucks. It's true. But you know what? There's a difference between ISIS and an American warplane trying not to hit civilians. I'm not saying it's right to even go to war. I actually don't think it is. What I'm saying is there's a distinction in morality between the two. And if you conflate them and say they're equivalent, then you don't understand morality. Because an intent to kill women and children versus trying not to in a war situation is a very different thing. Now, should you be there at all? That's a moral question. That's a different question. I'm not gonna answer. Logan will be like, America! And I'll be like, hey, bro, smoke it if you got it. What else we got?
Let's have a moment of silence for the meme that died.
Let me play the bagpipes. Of all the memes I've met in my travels, it was the most offensive. CPAC, I love you. Thank you for being a part of this conversation. Hit share, hit like. Be a part of the solution, not the problem. And we're out.
Peace, you guys. We don't have time for Tribe Talk today, so talk amongst yourselves.
Or don't.
Brimley, and I'd like to talk to you for a few minutes about diabetes. Diabetes. Go. Am I? Lab is so wild. Uh-huh.